Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
You may know Jackson Pollock, the painter famous for his iconic drip paintings. But what do you know about his wife, artist Lee Krasner? On Death of an Artist, Krasner and Pollock, the story of the artist who reset the market for American abstract painting, just maybe not the one you're thinking of. Listen to Death of an Artist, Krasner and Pollock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 5 Eastern, 12 to 2 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Broadcasting live at TireRack.com, studios.TireRack.com. We'll help you get there. Unmatched selection, fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, over 10,000 recommended installers, TireRack.com. It's the way that tire buying should be. Welcome in. Hope you're great. We may get this in the show, be talking the pod. I will say that as much as I'd love to start by talking about the NFL today, like, man, NFL draft was Thursday. Yes, I know there were two other days of the NFL draft. I would move the NFL draft to Sunday. Then you have Sunday, huge viewing audience. Monday, like Monday Night Football, will be kind of recap and then the other rounds. And then you have a Tuesday. Then you get the whole week for us to talk about. Now it feels kind of forced. Instead, we talk about Jalen Brunson dropping 47. And Anthony Edwards doing the old Nuke Lelouch and announcing his presence with authority. But, you know, my favorite time is when a team just lost, because you can pick apart the carcass of the rotting corpse, right? And you sit there and you go, why'd he die? Why'd he die? We do it with basketball teams, we do it with football teams, we do it with baseball teams, right? And some of it can be bad luck. Luck can be a factor. You know, I don't think the Pelicans were going to beat the Thunder, but if you don't think the series would be dramatically different if, you know, Zion Williamson was healthy, you're not paying attention. The Bucks have been an abject disaster this year in adding Damian Lillard, but Damian Lillard not playing game five or... was it game four? Probably not playing game five and not having Giannis for the entire series. You think it would have been different? Of course. So some of that is just bad luck. But if we pick apart the carcass of the Phoenix Suns, because don't get me wrong, we'll have time to do it with the Milwaukee Bucks, and some of it will blame on injury. A lot of it will blame on composition and just the idea that you have some guys can't play second fiddle. By the way, do any bands have two fiddles anymore? Like, there was Stagecoach this weekend. I didn't go. Hey, I have tons of friends that did. I don't know of any country band that had two fiddles. Unless Alabama was at Stagecoach, and even Alabama, I'm not sure they had two fiddles. But I digress.
I think bluegrass has multiple fiddles, if you're a bluegrass fan.
It's a multiple fiddle thing? Nobody wants to play second fiddle in bluegrass. Wait, my first fiddle or my second fiddle? Your second fiddle. Nah, I'm walking them out. I'm walking. The attitudes on these fiddler players, you know? One of my favorite quotes from a movie comes from The Hunt for Red October. Now, if you know me, you know that I have an affinity for a couple types of movies. Do you guys know this? Submarine movies. Okay? Submarine movies. Westerns. Pretty much anything Denzel has been in. Right? Pretty much anything. And John Hughes movies. I love sub movies. I think I've seen all of them. Maybe not. U571, Crimson Tide, Das Boot, right? The original Das Boot. But I love Hunt for Red October. Hunt for Red October is written by the late, great Tom Clancy. Jack Ryan, of course, was his star character, right? The old CIA agent. And in this case, a very, very young Alec Baldwin played Jack Ryan. And James Earl Jones was his boss of the CIA. And Fred Thompson also died, right? He also got the call, didn't he? Fred Thompson, who went from actor to senator in Tennessee, was the submarine, the American submarine commander. And I look at the flaws of the Phoenix Suns. And yes, we can talk about Kevin Durant and what he did and didn't do. We can definitely talk about Brad Beal, whether or not he's actually a great player in real NBA basketball as opposed to just a really good player on really bad teams when he was in Washington. And Devin Booker, and does it work with Booker and Durant playing on the same team as one another? We could do all of that. We could talk about the fact that they have a coach who won in Indy, didn't win in Orlando, won a title in LA, and seemed like a bad fit for the players and the style of which Phoenix wanted to play. But to me, it all comes down to having either no plan or a bad plan.
Russians don't take a dump, son, without a plan.
Right? I love that line. I don't know why I love that line, but I love that line. And it's true. Like, you got to have a plan in this thing. You don't just go and acquire assets, which is kind of what they did. Right? Like, ooh, we got Kevin Durant. We moved heaven and earth and got Kevin Durant to go along with Devin Booker. But wait, there's more. I almost feel like it was a Ronco commercial. Am I dating myself with the Ronco commercials? Do those still exist right there? Set it and forget it. Yeah! I felt like it's a Ronco commercial. Hey, don't we get Kevin Durant. But wait, there's more. And you took what they did was frankly the exact same thing the Brooklyn Nets had done when they acquired Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. They had a culture people liked. They had a team people liked. And yeah, they kind of topped out at some point in the playoffs. But in an effort to be different, they did the exact same thing Brooklyn did, and they actually had worse results. It's fair to say that Brooklyn didn't get Kevin Durant to the finals. It's unfair to say that it was a complete and abject disaster because, well, when they had James Harden, they had Kyrie Irving, they had Kevin Durant, even with Kyrie hurt, with Kyrie healthy, they were blowing out the Bucks. They were up 2-0. Kyrie gets hurt. And had Kevin Durant not stepped on the line, despite the fact that James Harden had a bad hamstring, they win that series. They go to the NBA Finals, and maybe Kyrie plays, and they got a chance to win the thing. This one ends up in a 4-0 series sweep. And I can point to one play, and it's a play that everybody's talking about, and I can talk you through it and show how that shows you everything you need to know about the Suns. You ready for it? Okay, Sam, did you watch last night's game?
Yes, I did.
Okay. I'm going to come back to you in a second. Dan Beyer, I know you did your show. Okay, I'm sure you watched sickeningly your Bucks play. You got a lot of stuff going on with your son at home. Did you watch last night's game?
Yes.
Okay. Jay Stu, did you watch last night's game or only highlights?
No, I did not watch it. I watched highlights. Yeah.
Okay, let's start with Jason. What's the one highlight everybody's talking about today?
The Anthony Edwards dunk.
Okay. Sam, fair enough. Is that you watch the game? Is that the play that jumps out at you?
Yes.
Okay. I would also say that Anthony Edwards blocking Devin Booker's dunk in addition to his dunk would be kind of the two, but definitely the one. Is that fair, Dan Beyer, that the play that jumps out as the play of that game?
It does sound like you're kind of peacocked over Jason, you know, and mentioning the block that he probably didn't see, but yes, it was the dunk.
Right. So on that dunk, here's what happened. Ready? Okay. We talk about teams And there's an expression, especially in basketball. You ever heard this? Connected teams. Well, they're just a connected team. Right? Just a connected team. It's like us as a kind of a show unit. You got to be kind of connected show unit. Connected team. Okay, so Anthony Edwards has the ball on the left wing. He's coming down the court in the left wing. When you're coming towards the basket, you go right at a guy. That's called going downhill. That's called downhill basketball. Now, he's technically not really going downhill because he did stop to go through his legs and then fake the crossover, right? Okay, Devin Booker is at the top of the key. There's no offensive player within 15 feet of him. So Devin Booker being at the top of the key means that's one where your help is, and two, Devin Booker's actually supposed to double-team the basketball there. Supposed to put two on the ball, get the ball out of Anthony Edwards' hands. So there's two mistakes in one. One, Brad Beal, the only place you're not supposed to send the ball is to the baseline. And where Devin Booker is supposed to be is right next to him to double team him. So Booker's wrong for not coming early. And Beal is really wrong because he reached, got beat to the baseline instead of sending the ball to the middle to where his help is, where a double team is. And then Kevin Durant, the third of the three stars, is the low man. His man is opposite, on the opposite side of the ball. He's below the backboard. And I don't know if you guys know. Do you guys know there's a little hash mark down there on the court? Okay, there's a little hash mark on the court on the baseline. That position is called the dunker. I'm sure you've heard of it before, right? So he's guarding the dunker. Well, the second, okay, you're not allowed to stay 3 seconds in the key, but when Anthony Edwards has the ball on the wing, he's supposed to, one, be in the lane, and then two, as he drives, be on the ball side of the lane, stopping the basketball with his body, where then they can trap the ball and get the ball out of his hands. He is the last line of defense. And he's late. So Beal reaches and doesn't send him to the middle. Booker's not double teaming, even though he's where he's supposed to be early. He should be double teaming. And then Kevin Durant is late. And so they get dunked on and the series was over and it becomes a highlight. Here's the play.
10 to shoot. Edwards.
Oh, Edwards! A signature slam!
It was a perfect call from the great Ian Eagle. A perfect call. Because even with that, right before that dunk, it was a close game. It was like a 4-6 point game, and that ended. It was over. And it wasn't just over because of the score. It was over because you had three guys who were on the same team that all liken themselves as some form of superstars, unable to talk, work together. And what does that mean? They're not connected. Because they didn't realize, okay, in putting this team together, that Brad Beal was not ready for that level of play. Brad Beal discombobulated before all of us. Did you guys see Brad Beal foul out on purpose? I mean, there's no other explanation for what happened. He turns the basketball over, going to the baseline, turns and yells at the bench to review the play. He does the circle thing. They don't, because it looked like it was off on him and they only had one timeout left. He goes down to the other end of the court and fouls with five fouls just out of nowhere because he was so frustrated. He just wasn't ready for that. You know, you play a decade in the NBA and you think your whole life, I can't wait to get to the NBA playoffs. This is what's like. And then all of a sudden, you're not as good and your team's not as good as you thought. And then in a must-win game, you play terribly. He discombobulated. So they didn't know what they were getting in Brad Beal. Plus, he wasn't healthy most of the year, so it's hard to build a team. Durant and Booker, they just didn't seem like they worked together well. And you have a head coach who's a data guy, who's an ultimate preparation guy, who's a film guy, and Kevin Durant famously is not. Oh, yeah, by the way, do you guys remember this time last year when they were looking for a new head coach and they decided that Kevin Young wasn't going to be their head coach? Now he's the BYU head coach, but he was going to stay on as an assistant. That doesn't work. Right? That doesn't work. It's really, really hard. Everyone has to really sacrifice their egos for a guy who was up for the job to then be second chair for the job. So you make two trades, not thinking about whether or not it fits together well. You trade away your star center, DeAndre Ayton, for two backups. And what did they need? They need a point guard. They need a center. They had neither. So you don't acquire a point guard. You trade away your center kind of out of spite. You put together a coaching staff, which in and of itself doesn't fit, a coaching staff which probably doesn't fit with the personnel, and then the players don't necessarily fit together. And you have a non-connected team, and the perfect embodiment of it is that one play, which becomes the signature play for the other team and the other great player, but really should be the signature for why the Phoenix Suns were a car fire. If you don't have a plan, it becomes like the late, great John Wooden's expression. You ever heard this one? Failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Maybe they should have put a Russian in charge.
Russians don't take a dump, son, without a plan.
Right? Gotta have a plan. Gotta have a plan. You do have to have a plan when you take a dump, though, right? You got to, like, make sure when you sit down, you check out, like, do I have... You ever gone really... You had to go really bad. You go down, you sit down, you go, and you're like, oh, my God, no toilet paper. The worst. The worst. We need to do that one in a pod. That's more of a podcast discussion. Maybe it's a game time thing for you at some point, Dan Beyer. It's you don't have toilet paper. You're in a public restroom. What do you do?
I don't know.
What do you do? These are the things, these are the connective tissue with us all.
This is the best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's welcome him in. He works for Fox Sports and foxsports.com. He's the one and only Rick Bucher. He joins us. And, Buke, there's a if we do the blame pie thing on the Suns, I got to tell you, I think the biggest blame is going to be on the composition of the roster and the coaching staff, way more than blaming any player. And my logic is, like, you know, you bring in Frank, he's an analytics guy, he's a data nerd, he loves to prep, he loves the video. He fits actually really well with LeBron. It doesn't really fit well with Durant. And then, oh yeah, by the way, you keep Kevin Young, who pretty, you know, quite obviously, they almost hired as a head coach. That doesn't work. And then you bring in Brad Beal, who only plays like half the year, and he's not ready to play. And then all the pieces don't fit together. And some of that is the problem of the pieces, but a lot of that is who chose to put those together. Is that fair?
No.
No, it's not fair?
No, it is. It is completely fair.
Okay.
Composition of the team from the very beginning. I mean, you got into the granular aspect of the connection between the coaches and the players, but you know, in broad strokes, you had all your strength in one place, which was you had scorers and guys who are uniquely talented mid-range scorers. I mean, if you want to say they're all three-level scorers, I suppose
they're not. No, they're not. They're not. Wait, hold on. Can I give you something that I looked up during the game last night? Okay, this will help make your point. This will help make your point. Okay, for the entire series, the Timberwolves took 134 threes. For the entire series, and they took a ton last night. The Suns took 104 threes. 104 threes. 30 more attempts in a four-game series.
Okay? Yeah.
That's not how you play basketball today.
Yeah.
And I believe the staff knows that and implored them to shoot more threes and stop shooting mid-range shots.
Yeah.
So, and they made 11 more. They took 30 more. But you take 11 more, okay, that changes the dynamic of everything you do and the spacing of everything you do and the rebounding and the angles and all that stuff. But also, it's a more efficient shot.
Yeah. Well, I think the part of it is, and it was funny just watching last night, is they don't really have an ideal drive and kick guy.
No.
Now, all of them can drive, but it's drive and kick. They're driving and they're looking for their shot. And if they can't get to the rim, they're pulling up and they're hitting the mid-range. They're not looking to get penetration in order to kick it to set somebody else up. And there was a one point where Devin and KD were, one was on the wing, one was sort of at the top, and they would drive about 4 or 5 feet and then swing it to the other. Try to get that second there, the other defender to step over a step or two, swing it and give a three. And they kept passing it back and forth because neither guy wanted to really take that three because it wasn't a wide open three. And that was just one example of how this team was so poorly formed. And then the one force you had on the inside, for all that we talk about how soft DeAndre Ayton may be, Jusuf Nurkić isn't much better. I mean, he can be, and physically he has the ability to be, and at times
he can't play. And listen, he can't play. That was a horrible trade. They did everything they could, and I believe the stories that the coaching staff wanted to keep DeAndre Ayton. It's a previous coaching staff that didn't, right?
Yeah.
They gave him away for two backups.
Yeah.
For two backups. Yeah. So you don't have a point guard, and you don't have a starting caliber center, and you don't have a backup point guard either, and then you have pieces that don't fit, shoot too many middies. You keep the runner-up for the head coach position on the staff. Like, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah. All of which is why, but this is where I differ from most people who want to tell you that the Suns are sunk. They're not sunk. You can change this team in a hurry, but you have to be willing to move Devin Booker to do it. Because Devin Booker can get you a king's ransom. He can get you draft picks back. He can get you really good players. I mean, based on the price that Rudy Gobert set, 27 years old, locked up for the next 4 years, you can get a ton for Devin Booker. And you need to take him out of that place where he thinks he's the number one guy. Because he's never made the playoffs without Chris Paul, or in this, I mean, this is the first time. He's never won a playoff game where he was the guy. And so it's not anything. I'm not blaming Devin for where they are. He's just not what he has been made out to be. And I don't know what I can get for KD. I don't think I can get a whole lot for Beal. But I could solve a lot of problems if I was willing to move Devin. The one thing they cannot do is they cannot bring it back as is and think that, but we just need more time. That's not the solution for all the reasons that you and I have just discussed.
Okay. Will LeBron be wearing purple and gold next year?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I mean, where is he going to go? He's not leaving. He's not leaving for a year or two. The Bronny James, I mean, the Lakers will either sign Bronny as a free agent, undrafted free agent, or they'll draft him somewhere in the second round. But LeBron doesn't want to pull up roots and live someplace else for a year or two. And he still doesn't have quite the influence or authority that he has been used to with the Lakers, but he still has a lot, and he has way more than he would any place else. And the Lakers are not going to get, I mean, if we're talking about moving him, I just talking to people around the league, like the value of LeBron James versus all that you have to take on with him, we're at that point now where people are like, we're good. And we don't know that he can take us the last step. And so why would we do that? Why would we mortgage or kind of give the keys to our franchise to a guy for a year or two if we don't think it can win us a championship?
Who is more of a threat to the Nuggets, the Wolves or the Thunder?
I'm going to say the Wolves simply because of their size.
Correct.
And they create some interesting matchups. Now, I don't think that Jaden Daniels can do to Jamal Murray what he did to Devin Booker. To me, Jaden was kind of the unsung hero of that series. He did a lot of yeoman's work, but because you have Jokic, you can just have Jokic or Aaron Gordon initiate your offense, and the Wolves don't have anybody who can put that 94-foot pressure on them to make that difficult. And then the big difference for me is just the 3-point shooting of Denver over Minnesota. I just don't think that Minnesota consistently gets great looks, and you're still putting the ball in the hands of Anthony Edwards at the end of games to make decisions. And he's, for all of the hoopla around him, as much as, man, is he a dynamic player, he's still figuring out the game and how to orchestrate things at the end of games. I just don't think he's quite there yet. But when I look at Oklahoma City, I don't think they're that hard to figure out. It's basically, you need to turn the water off on Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, make him predictable, and they don't really have anywhere else to play. I don't. The Oklahoma City offense is not particularly complicated, and Denver has enough experience that they could make it ineffective in short order, in spite of everything that happened during the regular season. I know what the record is during the regular season. Teams are completely different when they have an opportunity to prepare and exploit your weaknesses.
Who plays for the Milwaukee Bucks in Game 5?
I don't know anybody's going to play that didn't play in Game 4. I think they've, by all indications, they've conceded this.
That's crazy. Like, yeah. Like Phoenix, I see your disaster, and I match it and one-up it with Milwaukee.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I'm not sure that maybe the series would be a little bit longer, but even before Giannis got hurt, I thought that Indiana was going to win the series because because at the pace that they play and the athleticism they have on the wings, Chris Middleton is not the defender he once was. Damian Lillard, obviously not. I just don't see how they matched up, where even if you had Giannis, that it was going to be appreciably different, because you got Miles Turner is hitting threes like that. You can pull Giannis out of the middle. And so I thought this was flawed from the beginning. Now, Milwaukee's going to watch what happens in these playoffs. And if Boston falters early, I could see them believing, hey, you know what, if we have everybody healthy and we have another year together, we could still come out of the East. I think they can talk themselves into that if Boston proves to be as vulnerable as I still think that they are. But and they're also kind of stuck. I mean, where are you going to go? Are you going to trade Damian Lillard? That to me is the only real option you have for making a significant difference to your team. And then Giannis would have to sign off on the idea that, yeah, much like my Adrian Griffin experiment, this did not work.
No, it did not. He's the one and only Rick Bucher. You got to check his work out at foxsports.com. You see him on Fox Sports Radio and Fox Sports One as well. He's the best. Buke, thanks so much for joining us.
You got it, Doug.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters.
It's an election year, so there's a lot of focus on the voters that TikTok is reaching.
The initial reaction is like, oh, things are looking so resilient.
I don't want to be too pessimistic, but I just don't see the political will down in Washington right now to change their tune.
I think the American electorate has been signaling that it expects a rematch of the 2020 election. These are unprecedented times.
With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up with you, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio, coming to you from the TireRack.com studios, TireRack.com. Let me get there. Unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com. It's the way tire buying should be. Welcome in. Welcome. Welcome. Welcome in. You know what? I'm not going to solicit Dan's take on Jeopardy just yet, because it does work out well with love and hate. Are there parts to it he loves? He's allowed to share. Are there parts to it he hates? He's allowed to share. So I don't know what his answer is. He may love Jeopardy without Alex Trebek. He may miss Alex longingly when watching the show. That's all part of it. Welcome in. Got a great second hour of the show for you. A reminder, after the show. Download the podcast, or if you missed any of the show, you can download the podcast as well. Just type in Doug Gottlieb wherever you download podcast, and you're set. This hour, we also have Rick Bucher, don't we? Rick Bucher is going to join us. We'll talk some NBA hoops. Lakers play tonight. Give you my thoughts on what one writer says could be the last game for LeBron in a Laker blue and gold uniform. Before we get to love and hate, Thoroughbred Racing has a new independent regulator. Hysa is implementing comprehensive reforms, sports combining hands-on care with cutting-edge technology to help keep athletes safe. Learn more, visit safetyrunsfirst.com. That's safetyrunsfirst.com. Let's get to live, love, and hate.
What did you love?
God, I love you.
And what did you hate?
Meet these player haters.
Dan Beyer. Love and hate. What'd you love from the weekend, Denny?
Personal note.
Yeah.
My son's, you know, birthday, we talked about that, was last week. And so he got a variety of gifts. And I was actually really worried that he would just want to play with all of his old toys. That has not been the case. It has been new toy after new toy, which is very rewarding as a parent and for others that have gotten him new toys. He seems to be playing with all of the new stuff, which means that your purchase power, your buying knowledge was correct. Like, you were in that. You did well. You did well as a parent.
Cost per use, yeah. Really.
And
good.
Yes, so I was very excited. I bought him his first, like, real golf club, just a small, tiny little 9-iron. And while I didn't love the neighbor girl trying to hit the foam golf balls off of the driveway, I did like to see the club being swung in the yard, so that was nice.
Okay. We'll circle back to a sports one in a second. What do you got there, Chase Stu? Something you loved. I know this is against, like, your normal persona to say you liked something, but what'd you love from the weekend?
I kind of like watching a football team draft a team having exactly 100% confidence in the decision makers. You never quite knew. I know your buddies with Telesco, but there's always been kind of a Spanos involvement in these draft picks, and the Chargers just seem to put all their faith in Harbaugh and this GM that they brought over from his brother's team. And I'm in full faith in Harbaugh mode. I'm not going to question any of these decisions.
Nothing.
Brandon Staley was an abject failure, and I'm going to try to forget about that, and I'm just going to put all my faith into one guy. And I kind of like to watch the draft picks come in with that.
Okay. Iowa Sam?
I don't really have anything to add to this segment.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
I'm actually going to second that. Like, this weekend, I thought stunk in sports, unless you were a fan of a team that won. Like, it was, you know, it was awful, obviously, for me as a Bucks fan. But the draft, I felt, was boring on Saturday. Like, I felt like I reached my limit for the first time in many years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
I hear you guys. I agree. I'm going to give you a couple things I love, though, if you don't mind. I love Anthony Edwards. I mean, obviously, the dunk was so ferocious. But I like that he plays with a smile on his face. Is that weird? Like, again, you could be as competitive as hell, but I like that he's having fun. Now, part of it is you're winning. You're kicking the Suns' asses. That's got to be fun. I just like the persona. I like that. I also like all of these idiots who killed the Timberwolves, okay? Who killed the Timberwolves for, what are you doing? Move heaven and earth for Rudy Gobert. You're not paying attention to the league. The league has gone away from small ball and gone to, you got to be skilled and versatile, but you got to be big. The defending champions are who you're chasing, right? That's who you're chasing. They are the favorite for a reason. And they start 6'9", 6'10", 7 foot across the front line. And that's why the Timberwolves went out and said, hey, we know where this league's going. And then, oh yeah, by the way, they added Mike Conley too, who's just been awesome. But I really like that, watching that team play. But I really love watching Anthony Edwards play with a smile on his face.
Was it this weekend where he got some stuff on Twitter for – he had some kind of a pelvic motion?
Yes.
In the middle of the court?
Yes.
What did we think about that?
I don't know.
And exactly what is he doing?
It felt like he was doing the Ric Flair, didn't it?
The DX chop.
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. DX chop? Yep. Yeah. What is that? Is that a wrestling thing?
D-Generation X. Yes. From WWE.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, Sam's giving it to you
right now. I mean, like, listen, if you want to clutch your pearls when you're watching it, you're allowed to, whatever. It was only two pumps, though, but as we know in the NFL, the third pump is what gets you the flag, right?
Isn't it? Yes.
Or is that just a key and peel? I'm not sure.
Even the slightest of pumps.
I love that the NFL draft is over because it's boring. It's actually usually boring. And what I hate are two things that I know Jason Stewart hates, okay? And we'll get to that. So this kind of works with the hates that I know are coming. But I love the fact that the draft is over because all of the idiots out there who pretend like they know who's really a good player and who's not. I'm not talking about people in the NFL. I'm talking about guys that do radio shows, guys that tweet. Like, you don't know anything. It's not your job to know anything. And yet we act like we know what the left guard from McNeese State is going to do when he takes on the, you know, Detroit Lions. We have no idea. But we do draft grades because of it. So there's this whole cottage industry, and I respect the guys that do it. I don't like the people that don't have any clue what they're doing, talking about it with authority, and I'm glad that's over. Let's get to what we hate. Okay, so he did love it, kids, which means, well, Dan, do you want to start with your feelings about Jeopardy?
Well, I'm honestly, Doug, I'm mixed on Jeopardy. That's kind of the whole conversation on it. It's where there's some really good things going with it, and then it takes a turn for, which is why I feel like it's an interesting discussion on how do you try to squeeze as much juice out of that orange. And I just don't know if they're squeezing the right part. Maybe they're just squeezing the peel. I'm not sure. I hated this weekend in the NBA, not only because of the Bucks scenario, which I'll dive into in a second, but also it's the second straight week. Like, Saturday's game stunk. Like, aside from the Lakers changing a little of that momentum and not being swept, it was blowout city again. And we had that the week prior when the playoffs tipped off. And then on the Bucks side of things, Friday was crazy. Chris Middleton keeping them afloat with some great shot making at the end, trying to keep that series alive, and then just really having no chance yesterday. And all anybody could say was, like, I give credit to the Bucks for trying. Because at one point, they didn't have Giannis, Dame, Bobby Portis, who got ejected, and then Chris Middleton actually had to leave early in the second half. Like, that was their team, and yet still hung around with the Pacers, who had to shoot over 50% from three to actually get this done. And so it's frustrating because there really wasn't anything. I've said all season long, Doug, when we've talked about the Bucks, just wait till the playoffs, because that's all that matters after last year. And then to have this be an incomplete, it's not even an F, it's an incomplete, because you don't even know if it's going to work or not. Probably not in the future, but just very, very disappointing that the season has come to an end like this. Because it's over. Like, there's no way that Giannis and Dame are going to play in Game 5.
Yep. Agreed. We'll ask Rick Bucher. He'll join us a little later on in the hour. Jay Stu, you hate everything? Go.
Thing I hated most this weekend was the Tampa Bay Rays. So this impacted my wallet. Anything that impacts my wallet, I'm going to take serious. So in my Survivor pool this week, I chose the Rays, Tampa Bay Rays. All they needed to do was win three games, and I advanced. It's a Survivor pool. They won one game all week. And they, going into the weekend series, they played a Chicago White Sox team that had won three games the entire season. They won three games the entire season starting Friday, and then they won three games over the weekend against the Rays. I was forced to watch the Rays all last week, and this is a despicable team. They don't have any clutch. They make fundamental errors all the time. They have pitchers that often miss in the wrong places at the wrong time. It's just a despicable club that plays in front of a despicable crowd, and the Rays are just dead to me.
I love the fact that you talked about a team nobody cares about, even in Tampa, and
yes.
about a sport that nobody cares about right now. And by the way, you kind of violated the primary rule of whether it's fantasy or betting. It's that you can't personalize it, dude. Nobody cares.
I never bet. That's the problem.
We don't care about your fantasy team. We don't care about your kids' achievements.
I have to take it personal.
We don't care about what else? Your kids' sports achievements, especially. Iowa Sam, something you hated.
I kind of hate the stat that there's never been an NBA team to come back from 3-0 down, because once you get, there's never been a team to come back and win a series down 3-0. That's what they tell me, right?
Yes.
So the fact is, when you're like the Pelicans, you're the Lakers, and now the gone Suns, the ditch Suns, you get down 3-0. It's like, it doesn't matter if it gets to 6 or 7, because no one's done it before. So it's like, it's until it happens, it's a death sentence.
They've gotten to 7 before a couple times.
They have, but it's still, no one is, it's like.
So what do you hate?
I just hate the fact that that no one's ever done it. So it's like, when you, those games just seem needless. I know you play them. You have to play them.
They do. And I would have been okay if we said, hey, you good? We're good. But I also think you find out the makeup of a guy, right? If you're a basketball player, you just play basketball. If you're a basketball player, you're like, there's a game, let's go. Right? If there's time on the clock, we got a shot. If there's games left to be played, we got a chance. So I'm going to disagree with you. I understand you hate that it hasn't happened. I love it, because I think it exposes these guys that claim to be, you know, ball is life, and they, you know, they're 1-2-3 Cancun. I mean, that's really.
But it's like knowing the end of a movie that you've seen.
Right.
Every new series is a new movie.
I know this movie. I know how it ends.
Yeah, and it's like, it's a sad ending.
Right.
More anguish from LeBron.
Right. Well, I hated the way Denver played on Saturday night. I thought they just kind of messed around, played with their food, had a chance to win the game, and then lost the ball, turned it over. Lakers won. So now we got another game tonight. Kind of, I hate that. I get that. Kind of hate that. I thought, Jace, dude, this was served up on a platter for you. I hate these dudes that like have no sources in the NFL, and they just make grandiose statements about NFL guys and drafting and do draft grades. It just wears me out. It makes me, I love the NFL draft. I just don't like all these kind of clinger hanger honor guys that act like they know something they don't. I'd be better off with no information than the information that's provided to me at some levels.
But if you think about it, like what, there's no risk to doing grades. So you're wasting inches and columns, and you're wasting segments on air to give grades that you're not going to be held to these, because there's no way in heck that anyone's going to like go back and care what you think about this. It's just filling air.
Yes and no. I will give you I think what it does is it lends itself to that you have to give either an A or an F. Because if you give an A and it ends up coming through, and everybody else is like B or C, you're like, dude, look, I got an A. I knew it. Or F, I knew it was going to be a disaster. When the world is much more filled of B's and C's and D's than it is A's and F's. Is that fair, Dan?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. But you have to have convictions.
Yeah.
Either way. That's what makes, you know, the Seahawks draft class when they had Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner was known as getting an F. Yeah. And then that ends up, if somebody gave it an A, then that person would have had their reputation made, but there were a lot more F's. And if it would have been a C, it would have been like, okay, all right, whatever. I do look at how, like, coming from the draft, I'm not giving Minnesota an F because they traded up, but, you know, that team's got like 4 picks next year. And I didn't think that they were a J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner away from being a Super Bowl contender. And so I just kind of scratch my head in that scenario. They've got nice talent, but you're going to have to pay Justin Jefferson at some point. I don't know.
Well, it's a new GM from, this is his second year, right?
No, plus, I think he's Quesia Adolfo Mensa.
Yeah, Quesia Adolfo Mensa. By the way, Jason, are you? Is part of your anger at the Rays that they lost to the White Sox, or just that they lost you money?
No, I think
because like the White Sox had won three games heading the weekend, and I had not learned that until Thursday's show, and then they win three games over the weekend.
I mean, that's disgusting. They couldn't even beat the White Sox once, and that's the worst team in baseball. So yeah, it adds to my fury. Yeah.
Good. We like a furious Jason is a motivated Jason. A motivated Jason is a very skilled Jason, and that is love and hate.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
You may know Jackson Pollock, the painter famous for his iconic drip paintings. But what do you know about his wife, artist Lee Krasner? On Death of an Artist, Krasner and Pollock, the story of the artist who reset the market for American abstract painting. Just maybe not the one you're thinking of. Listen to Death of an Artist, Krasner and Pollock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money in markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.